Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting truth and encouragement, hope and inspiration, and hopefully motivation so you can take action. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and if you're a God-fearing patriot, a liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Thank you so much for joining us. We are broadcasting live on AM 630 right now in Eastern Washington and North Idaho. And for our streaming audience, I want to welcome all of you. Thank you for joining us as well, and thank you for helping to spread the word. And you can help spread the word by telling your like-minded, vetted, trusted fellow American patriots about Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you all for your support through your prayers, your letters of encouragement, ideas, suggestions, and your donations that help us keep on the air with the growing cost. And it's an honor to be working with all of you. And it's so great to have so many John Jacob Schmidts out there. You see it and you feel like you're not alone. And that's what I hear. That testimony just gets echoed continuously. I finally feel like I'm not alone. And this whole world is just turning crazier by the day. And they've got me feeling like I'm the lunatic, you know, here. And it's not true. It's not true. We're going to shed some light on a few things today. We're going to have a guest. We've had him on before, and you know him well. You should. Pastor Sharam Hadian. He is in the center of a major controversy in the American Redoubt because he has brought awareness to the citizens about a scheme to usher in, well, subjecting the United States to foreign law, all in the name of saving the children. Well, we're not buying it. And those who are speaking the truth from the mountaintops, they are coming under attack by those with a left-wing agenda. We're not going to have any part in that. We're not going to allow them to do it, are we? All right, now, what do I want to do now? I want to make sure that I have enough time to be able to spend with Pastor Hadian. And then we're going to open up the phone lines in segment three. I know so many of you have been asking questions and trying to get to the bottom of this and make sense of this, because we have the situation where they are trying to push through this legislation that subjects all of the states to foreign law and foreign bodies of judicial bodies and quasi judicial bodies. And those on the left are pushing it with ferocity. And those on the patriot side are warning against it. So we're going to get to the bottom of all that. Write this number down: 1-877-999-7684. I'll give it to you again, 1-877-999-7684. Now, if you're not sure how to listen streaming, tell your friends. They can just go to Radio Free Readout on the right-hand side. Click on that banner, KTW 630 AM. There's all the instructions for listening to live streaming, which many, or most actually, of you are doing. Thank you to our listeners in Texas, in Florida, in Missouri, and North Carolina, and elsewhere. You can also go to acn.cc and click on that bell. That will take you to Liberty Broadcasting System. And before I get into the news and commentary, I am happy and I'm sad at the same time. We lost a great, great patriot this week. If you are in the Spokane, North Idaho area, and you probably know or have heard of or have sat under the instruction of John Beale from by whatstandard.org. He's had a ministry for years, and he was a great mentor to me and a great friend, and he lost his battle with cancer, and he went home to be with the Lord. And the Patriot community lost an amazing person. And Fox 519 and I were talking about this week. We wish that there were a lot of people here today, don't we? We wish we could pull some of the founding fathers from the grave to give us some guidance. But you know what? They blazed the trail for us. They passed down their knowledge to us. And it's our responsibility now to take that torch and carry it and prepare the next generation so that our heritage isn't lost. And I'm going to miss John Beale greatly. He had an amazing ministry. He forgot more about the Constitution and our American heritage than I know. And he impacted and affected so many people for the good and always for the glory of God. Great man. He's going to be missed. But our founding fathers, all the way up through the most recent loss with John Beale, they are not here. It is up to us. So we want to make sure we don't squander the hard work that they've done and everything, the efforts that they've put into, so we could be aware and knowledgeable about our freedom and our liberty and how to fight for it in a God-honoring way. So let's not let that go to waste. Let's pick up the torch and let's carry on. All right. For your situational awareness, we're going to bring you now the news and commentary, because there are many things going on all across the world and the country, and there's just a few things that I wanted to bring to your attention. And like I said, we might even go to break just a little bit early because I want to make sure we have enough time to speak with Pastor Hadian. Tennessee, they get it, and they've set a good example for the rest of the country to follow. Well, they're not the only ones, but they're the most recent one, who voted down Common Core. Get rid of it. It doesn't belong here. This is amazing that Washington Times actually wrote an article about the roots. They didn't write it. They published an article basically calling for parents to reject Common Core everywhere. It always comes in harmless. It's just about your children learning in a more standardized way. Not true. According to this article, because in 2014 through 2015, America, public school students through Common Core are participating in school-sponsored trips to mosques at your taxpayers' expense. Girls must wear headscarves. That came from a story in Colorado. They are debating whether or not the Holocaust was merely a political scheme created to influence public emotion and gain. That was presented to an eighth grade. That was an eighth grade assignment defended by the Rialto Unified School District in Los Angeles. Pledging allegiance in Arabic in New York. In New York City, observing two Muslim holy days now. We talked about that. We've brought a lot of these stories to your attention. This is a good little compilation. Being taught Islamic vocabulary lessons in a North Carolina school. Being taught Islamic culture in Tennessee. World history from Islamic perspectives in a Florida school that included learning about the five pillars of Islam. And that's the story where the Marine Corps veteran father complained about this world history, Islamic, five pillars of Islam study, and they banned him from the school grounds. They're told to proselytize by creating a pamphlet about Islam to introduce Islam to third graders that introduces Allah to children as the same God of the Christians and the Jews. This is that Christendom. This is part of that which is infiltrating the churches, which has become increasingly apostate. And Christendom, Pastor Hadian talks about this often as well. He goes on speaking engagements to specifically talk about the threat of Christendom, where they're bringing in pastors of Christian churches are bringing in imams to talk to the congregation about Islam so they have a better understanding so they can, you know, embrace each other's similarities while setting aside their differences and convincing American churches that Islam and Christianity worships the same God. Parents in every state are outraged, protesting, and asking, why is Islam being taught in public schools, and how did this happen? I'll tell you how it happened, because you went to sleep. Well, they got snapped awake real quick, didn't they? And they're asking, where's the ACLU? Where are the people protesting against religion being taught in public schools? Well, you got to remember what the agenda is. You didn't protest when they banned Christianity from schools. You're only protesting when they bring in Islam. There's nothing wrong with teaching religion in public schools as long as it's not Christianity. That's the program. You get it? And see, we waited until they got inside the perimeter, in the camp, and then we say, we don't like this very much. Because we couldn't stop them from coming into the perimeter because, well, that would be hateful and bigoted and xenophobic. You can't undo this. This is the lesson that the Europeans are screaming at us to stop before we go down the path they went down. Amazing. Common Core origins. The short answer is that President Obama's push for hope and change translates into completely transforming America for the worse. Common Core is but one of many parts of an intricate plan to infiltrate every area of American society with Islam. And I will be talking about this in the weeks to come and beyond. And this is why Common Core's origin and funding came from, guess where? Qatar, Libya, and Saudi Arabia. This is an expose over at the Washington Times. First, Mexico and now China wants to tell us how to run our country. Well, Japan was afraid to attack the homeland because of us having a gun behind every blade of grass. It's one of their Japanese quotes. But now the Chinese, the official Chinese government news agency, has demanded the U.S. immediately adopt stricter gun control measures to reduce the number of firearms in the U.S. population, or that the U.S. populace is permitted to possess. I'll bet the Chinese consider heavily armed America a serious problem, because they've got plans. The Chinese state-controlled media said it was called Innocent Blood Demands No Delay for U.S. Gun Control. Now, look at the irony here. How many millions, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of dead babies' blood is on their hands? How many people have they killed for not meeting their work quota? Dissidents, Christians. They're rounding up Christians. And one of the biggest underground churches is in China. Very effective. A thorn in the side of the communists. They are imprisoning and killing their own citizens. And they're demanding the United States disarm its citizens because of the innocent blood from people killed by firearms in America. You know what, communists? Never. I can't say it. Sometimes it's hard to be a Christian because the things I want to say aren't very Christian-like. But I think you get the picture. I think we know where we could tell the Chinese to stick this little policy. As long as they're murdering, and guess what? I got a scathing letter from somebody that says, I can't believe you talk pro-God and pro-America. And then you promote Chinese radios, you know, for Amron Communications Emergency Radio Network. My response was, show me a radio made in America and we'll promote it. There isn't one. Well, there's Japanese radios. Okay, smarty pants. Guess what? All these Chinese, all these Japanese radios, they're subbing out all the electronic components, and a lot of the batteries and even the casing bodies are subbed out to China. So we got an option. We can just not have any alternative communications. But what's interesting is that in America, we are no less guilty. The persecution against Christians is on the rise. And how many millions and millions and millions of babies have we murdered? Hillary Clinton, there was another expo this week talking about healthcare decisions for the woman, pro-abortion. Up to 7-pound baby in the womb. That's the decision for the doctor to make, Wasserman said. These people are murderous. In America, we are no less guilty. And those people in America want to disarm the American citizens too. Communists just have this thing about disarming American citizens or any citizen. So, when it comes time to ban the guns and we have to give them up, remember, you always give them up bullets first. All right. Little story came out this morning. Mrs. Schmidt brought to my attention. And patriots, this is one of those things that we need to prepare for. The black market. It's coming. I know personally several people from Europe, Czechoslovakia, Poland. They survived because of the black market. The Idaho Department of Health and Welfare will host a number of public meetings which you patriots need to attend, and those on the Washington side of the border, sit up straight and pay attention to this, because I know you're already dealing with this from Olympia. Starting next week in Coeur d'Alene, they're going to start gathering public input on whether cottage foods, not cottage cheese, that's foods that are produced in somebody's home, should be regulated. Cottage foods are not time temperature controlled for safety. It's always about our safety. They're going to keep us safe because we know we've got thousands and thousands of people dying every year in Coeur d'Alene because of bad banana muffins, right? But they want to extend this. This is going to affect the farmers markets, which thrive in Idaho. The state is gathering input on proposed updates to the state's entire food code. Remember what I've said before, and I'll say this again, and this is coming. Food has always been used as a weapon by an oppressive regime. They control the flow of food, the food source. We're seeing it right now in Venezuela. We've seen it all over in South America. We're seeing it right now in Africa. We saw it in Europe. There's no shortage of food. Unless it's controlled by the government. And this, they're talking about, where I had the list of it. It was the list of foods that they're talking about affecting. Oh, they did this story about this woman who bakes, she does bakery goods. But other new rules would include how employers deal with and report employee illnesses and how food is to be safely handled and stored. I have the whole article right here, and I didn't have time to highlight it. Honey would be one of the things affected. Any kind of baked items would be affected. They're looking at items that you grow, of course, milk, cheese, anything like that. And I will try to find this during the break. We're going to take a break here in just a minute, but I want to remind you real quick before we do. MarbleCountry.com is the email address, I mean the website address that I couldn't think of last week for the God and Country celebration in Washington, MarbleCountry.com. July 3rd through the 5th of 2015 for an awesome family event, and the gates are going to be open at Friday, July 3rd. They're going to have a lot of training sessions, speakers. I know I'll be speaking there and probably even putting on a communications workshop. Representative Matt Shea, I think Representative Dave Taylor, maybe even Elizabeth Scott. That'd be great. Pastor Sharam Hadian, Pastor Bird. They're going to have activities for the kids, including games and black powder shooting and entertainment. Lots of stuff going on. And they got an early bird special. So jump in on that. Get a 20% discount if you get your tickets by June 10th. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be right back with Pastor Hadian.
If it's good enough for J.P. Morgan, it's even better for us. This is your Saturday edition of Eye in the Economy Minute, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt and the PrepperRecon.com store with me, Fox 519. It is being reported that J.P. Morgan has amassed 55 million ounces of physical silver. Clearly, somebody at J.P. Morgan is convinced that physical silver is a great investment. According to a detailed report by TheWealthWatchman.com, J.P. Morgan Chase has been amassing a huge stockpile of physical silver, presumably in anticipation of some type of market event. But why is J.P. Morgan doing that? One can only surmise that they are prepping for an event that their CEO has been telling us all along it's going to happen. And 2 weeks ago, I told you that Jamie Dimon put out a memo that said, quote, "There will be another crisis." They've also made another curious move. It is now being reported that the bank is restricting the use of cash and prohibiting the use of cash in safe deposit boxes. This is a sign that a too-big-to-fail bank is seriously concerned about failure, and soon. Want more information? Tune in every week on RadioFreeRedoubt.com.
Hey everyone, this is Glenn Tate. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt and John Jacob Schmidt. His name is my name, too.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Redoubt at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
Are you coming to the tree? Strange things that happen here, no stranger would it be if we met at midnight in the hanging tree. Are you coming to the tree where dead men called out?
The first thing they do is they demonize. They marginalize, and then they criminalize, and then comes the incarceration, and then the executions. Every single oppressive regime that has killed their own citizens, that is the process. We're already beyond marginalization of Christians in America. They are moving well into the demonization of Christians in America and conservative patriots, aren't they? There might come a time when we might have to meet at the hanging tree. And Benjamin Franklin said, we have to hang together, or assuredly we will all hang separately. I want you to remember that, patriots, because you cannot sit this one out. You cannot think that it's going to bypass you what they are planning for conservative Christian patriot Americans. You've got to get involved. You've got to get engaged. I was invited to speak to the Spokane County Constitutional Republicans this coming Monday night. So I wanted to put that out. Monday evening, be there at 6:15 at Sherry's Restaurant on Sullivan Avenue in the Spokane Valley. And then at 7 o'clock or 6:45, the meeting will begin, and I think I'm scheduled to speak at 7 p.m., and I believe that's for an hour. So I'm looking forward to that, and we'll get that recorded as well so we can share that with you guys. A lot of it's going to be stuff that I'm going to be touching on in Prosser. But in Prosser at the Rattlesnake Rendezvous next weekend, May 2nd, on Saturday, I'm going to be talking about the coming underground church, the Patriot Underground. And then I'll also be talking about some communications concepts that we as patriots also need to be thinking about. Very interesting. Now, hey, did you guys feel the earthquake? We had an earthquake. Not today. It was Thursday night, 7:30. We had an earthquake, and Mrs. Schmidt felt it. She has an internal sensor. She can feel the earthquake when
everybody else. She said, "Did you feel that? Did you feel that?" And then everyone looks at her and says, "You're crazy. I didn't feel anything." She says, "That was an earthquake." "No, it wasn't." And then sure enough, the news breaks. "Oh, we just had an earthquake." So she's got some kind of a built-in something. And, well, she's a woman. She's got the intuition stuff going on. Now, us guys, we call that discernment. Women call it intuition. But speaking of discernment, we have to have discernment in the day and age that we are in to be able to recognize the lies. We need to be praying over the watchmen on the tower that are pointing things out, pointing truth out when we're being lied to. And it's an honor to have Pastor Hadian joining us to point some of the lies out that we're being fed. And he's right in the middle of this controversy going on in Idaho right now, where they are trying to push through this child support bill and family support bill. And they're calling anyone who's opposing it grandstanding at the expense of Idaho's most vulnerable, of course, the children. And they're saying that these representatives who voted Senate Bill 1067 down will hurt the most vulnerable in Idaho. And so they're using fear tactics. At the same time, they're telling us, conservatives, that we're opposing this using fear tactics. We're scaring everybody about Sharia law, so they're trying to scare everybody. Pastor Hadian from Truth and Love Ministries, thank you for joining us. It's just a blessing.
Oh, John Jacob, it's a blessing to be back with you on the air, and thank you for doing what you do and for covering this story in particular, but just for doing all that you do for our nation.
Well, it's a team effort, and I appreciate you doing your part. And I have actually covered this the last couple of weeks, but this is a continuously developing situation where you present facts and logical, reasonable arguments, and the newspaper, which is, you know, the we call the Coeur d'Alene Pravda, strong left-wing agenda, very apparent, and they've been attacking you repeatedly. Now, my rule of thumb is whatever the left is so, so vigorously fighting for something, that automatically we should be opposing it, even if we don't know anything about it. Because once right. we do find right. out about it, we find out it is not good for us. So
right.
Let's lay the foundation here. You wrote an article. Well, no, you wrote a paper, your analysis of some of the issues that concerned you from a constitutional perspective and the sovereignty of America and the state of the individual states were seemed to be threatened. And you wrote this paper. So I'll let you take it from there.
Well, absolutely. Just to give you that background, I had a scheduled meeting in Idaho with some of the legislators that had nothing to do with this bill at all. I was there presenting some information on Islam, on my background expertise as a former Muslim, specifically on how we had been witnessing, foreign law creep into our courts. Actually, the Center for Security Policy, if anybody wants to go to their website, has done some excellent work on demonstrating the application of foreign law in American courts and how that subverts our Constitution. So anyway, we had been presenting on that. The next day I was there, I happened to be in the office of one of the senators in Idaho when a call came in, concerns about the Senate Bill 1067. One of the interns that was in the room with us happened to have a copy. We looked over it, and I just was flabbergasted. John Jacob, as you know, this unfortunately passed the Idaho Senate unanimously. Nobody voted against it. Nobody, yeah. It didn't raise an eyebrow. And unfortunately, part of that was because some of the legislators, because it was late in the session, had not had a chance to read the bill. Well, when I look at the bill was under the auspices of human trafficking, which has really nothing to do with human trafficking. It has everything to do with child support payments. It has everything to do with parentage, custody orders, things like that. And Idaho already has laws on the book that allow it to collect child support for individual parents, either in the state of Idaho or with other states or territories of the United States. They have reciprocal agreements. The whole point of Senate Bill 1067 was to open the door to have reciprocal agreements with foreign countries
right.
or foreign tribunals. So I'm going, wait a second, why would you want to open the door to accept the rulings of a foreign government or a foreign tribunal if, and the question was, if it would to in any way contradict our constitutionally protected rights here? And so as such, I talked with some of the legislators. The bill was then going to go to the House. It had to go to the House side and go through a judicial committee before it could be voted upon. And they asked me, would you be willing to write a short brief with your concerns, which I did. I wrote a two-page brief. I gave it to some of the legislators. Of course, eventually the committee ended up hearing 3 hours, John Jacob. I mean, those who have been in any kind of legislative work know that 3 hours with a committee hearing, that is, like, extensive. I mean, they did their job. They looked at every angle of this bill upside and, up and down.
And the leftists and the protagonists for international global governance are trying to argue that they didn't even discuss it. They heard the word Sharia, and everybody scrambled and voted no for this without even looking to see what was in it, which is a lie.
Absolutely, and that's nonsense. Yes, there was testimony in the committee hearing about Sharia law, because in my brief, I was focusing on specifically the application of foreign law, that once you open the door, remember the language of this bill, 31-page bill that is being pushed in 50 states, is about foreign countries, foreign tribunals. It defines a foreign tribunal. One of the definitions of a foreign tribunal, and I have the bill in front of me, is the fact that it says that a foreign tribunal can be a court, an administrative agency, or get this, a quasi-judicial entity.
Yes.
And I read this going, what the heck is a quasi-judicial entity? Why would you allow that into our American courts? And we pointed out that, yes, in Europe, they are already accepting Sharia law in lower courts when it comes to custody issues, support orders, parentage, everything this bill was talking about. So it was a consideration. But when the committee people, when the legislators in the House looked at the bill, they looked at the fact that this ties the Idaho to the United Nations. They looked at the fact that the federal government, John Jacob, this was originally a bill that was passed in Congress last fall. And I have the bill number in case anybody wants to look it up. Let me just get that really quick for you because I want to make sure people
this,
understand that.
Okay, this originated.
We're not making this stuff up.
This originated.
Yes, sir. It was House Resolution 4980.
Yes.
So House Resolution 4980 was passed in Congress, and you know what that resolution says? There's four things that it says. It says one, Congress must adopt this legislation of the Hague Convention. So Congress is adopting specific language from the Hague Convention, which is an international body under international law, not American law, international law. Number two, they want all 50 states to enact this thing. Now, that's where my red flags went up, too, because I said, wait a second. You know, I know I've read my Constitution, and I know that states don't enact treaties, right? I mean, last time I checked,
right.
The treaty is ratified by the vote of the Senate and the signature of the president.
Right.
So why are they telling states that all 50 states must pass this law, by the way, uniformly? You can't change it. You can't amend it. Otherwise, we can't adopt this treaty. And so these are all red flags. There was many other issues that I know we'll talk about. But the committee, heard testimony from the Department of Health and Welfare in Idaho, from the Deputy Attorney General. By the way, the same Deputy Attorney General, John Jacob, who the media sent my two-page brief to, who basically said this is all a bunch of lies and wrong without really refuting it in law.
Right.
That same person testified before the committee, Deputy Attorney General, and the committee said, listen, we find the answers unsatisfactory, they're incomplete, they're not giving us fact, they're just saying, oh, don't worry, we're telling you because we're legal minds that this won't affect anything.
Yeah.
And that wasn't good enough for them, and it wouldn't be good enough for me if I was on that committee.
Right.
So for all those reasons, they decided to table it. And now it's like Armageddon's broken loose. The governor of Idaho, the media, the national media, the feds are threatening. You're going, wait a second, this seems like it's way more than just about $46 million of child support payments.
Well,
this is a bigger thing.
And the government, the gun being held against the head of the states to get this passed is the funding for this child support funding support from the federal government.
So
they're holding them.
And there's two portions of it. There's one portion, they claim it's $46 million, which is a drop in the bucket when you think about the state legislature and their operating budget. And by the way, Representative Luker, who was on that committee, said, listen, we are in an $88 million surplus. We have no problem standing up to the feds and saying, you know, you're not going to force us to pass a law that we haven't been able to vet or we can't amend. So that's not a problem. Yet the governor has made this like it's a national emergency. And of the $46 million, there's TANF money. So the TANF money, it's blackmail, John Jacob. They're blackmailing the state,
yes,
saying if you don't pass this bill, we're going to withhold money that doesn't even have to do with this bill. The TANF money is separate from the specific provisions of the bill that have to do with the portal, setting up this what's called a portal so that states can have reciprocity on international cases. And one more thing, if I can point out, I'm not sure where we're at with the break, but what's amazing about this is that, remember, the whole point of this bill is to have reciprocity with foreign governments, particularly countries that have signed on to this Hague Convention.
Yeah.
Yet of the 150,000-plus cases in the state of Idaho that are dealing with child support, 97, a grand total of 97, are international cases.
Yeah.
So why is this bill necessary? Why are they trying to pass it in all 50 states? Why are they lying to the states saying you have to do this so we can ratify a treaty? That's unconstitutional. So there are so many problems, and I believe, John Jacob, by the grace of God, this bill has been exposed in Idaho, perhaps with the ability of being able to stop it in other states.
It needs to spread.
It is. 19 states have already passed this bill, put it into law, without a peep, unanimously going through sessions, and you're going, why hasn't somebody flagged this? Why hasn't somebody scrutinized?
Yeah.
So I just give kudos to those nine legislators in the committee who voted to table this so they can have more time to research it for next year.
And just to put this into proper perspective, I have a listener, a longtime supporter, who is a judge. And she works in family law, dealing with custody issues and child support issues. And she called me on this. She says she just sickened to see this pass in her state. She lives in the American Redoubt. And I asked her, I said, would this bill, they pushed this through, it had to go through, does this give you any authority or powers that you did not have before? She said, no, absolutely not. I said, but they're arguing that this will allow you to work with other countries. She says, we already do. She goes, I just did a case with the mom living in with the kid in Germany, a German citizen, and the guy is living here in the United States. We already have these deals with other countries worked out. So the government is trying to say, well, all these kids aren't going to have child support now. And they're using the emotional arguments, just like the article that the Coeur d'Alene Press just ran. They've got this woman, here's this emotional, tear-jerking child support, why I care. This is the response to the Idaho state saying, no, we don't want this. It doesn't give us anything we already have. So this woman says, you know, I remember as a child being raised, watching my mom dig through the dumpster to support us, looking for snow boots for my little brother, you know, and so I know what it's like to go without child support and blah, 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 blah. And this is just sickening yellow journalism because it's a lie. And it's the federal government that's threatening to withhold the funds. The state of Idaho is not doing anything that they're not already normally doing.
And John Jacob, it's not just that they're threatening to withhold the funds now, because as I said, those in the committee who were asked about, well, what about this $46 million that you're going to potentially lose? Again, remember, part of it, which is TANF money, which is not necessarily connected to the provisions of this bill, but it's under the Social Security Act, their response was, listen, we have extra money. That's not a problem if we say no to the federal government. Now they're saying, we're going to remove Idaho from the entire portal. And so you can't have any enforcement in other states. And that's the threat that they're doing.
Right.
So this is pure blackmail. Plus, again, I'll bring up the point. They are telling the states, you must pass this uniformly. They're telling the state of Idaho, you can't amend this bill. You can't change one word in it to make it stronger, to make sure that there's provisions in there. Because my biggest question that I wrote in my brief to the legislature was, if, because on page 20, line 3 of section 35 of this bill, it talks about the choice of law. And the very exact quote is this: except as otherwise provided in subsection 4 of this section, the law of the issuing state, or, they've added now, foreign country governs. So the law of the issuing state or the foreign country governs. So my question is, which one? Which one governs? What if you have Idaho law and you have a ruling from Germany, or, for example, on the Hague list, John Jacob, there's Albania, Bosnia. Those are predominantly Muslim countries in Europe.
We're up against a break there. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Voice of the American Readout. Stay right there.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $89 include shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Communist propaganda, which left unchallenged, could speed up their goal of world domination. We are in the midst of a continuing struggle for the minds of men.
The studio phone lines are now open. 1-877-999-7684.
We are back at the Voice of the American Redoubt, bringing you truth, and we are countering the lies of the communists and the globalists and the Islamists on the left. Thank you for being here. Hopefully you're being encouraged, and hopefully you're learning a little bit about this topic, because it is coming to a state. It is already in your state. It is coming to a community near you, and you need to get a hold of your elected officials and hold their feet to the fire on this. This has got Islam written all over it, and we're going to talk about how and why here in just a minute. We're with Pastor Hadian from Truth in Love Ministries. And Pastor Hadian is a former Muslim who came from Iran seeking freedom to get away from persecution, found the truth, and became a Christian. And now he's a pastor. And just like every other Christian former Muslim that I've ever seen interviewed or talked to in person, they're all saying the same thing. Maybe we should listen to them. They're telling us, people, you are being lied to. Do not believe the lies. This is what the agenda is. This is the Islamic agenda right here. It's in your face. It is coming, and they have nothing in mind but total domination. And all these liberals on the left that feel good about themselves by embracing other cultures that are attacking you because you're trying to inform others about Islam. Listen to those who are telling the truth, and they're warning us. Pastor Hadian, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. It's an honor to be with you.
Okay.
And so
let's finish up before we went into the break. Finish up your thought. Did you hold on to your train of thought there?
I did. I was talking about a specific segment of this bill. See, John Jacob, this is one of the problems. If I could just say this really quick, you know, since this bill was exposed in the Idaho legislature and this thing happened, for the last 3 weeks, the media has been writing story after story after story, most of them lies. At one point, they were saying I was single-handedly taking credit for defeating this bill and all these different things. They're looking for a scapegoat. They can't understand. But when the truth comes, when we look at the facts, and my whole assessment was to simply read the bill and look at the language of the bill in connection with other parts of this bigger picture. So what I was talking about before the break was that there are segments of this bill that talk about choice of law, mm-hmm. where they're now saying that either the law of the issuing state, in this case Idaho, or the foreign government, a foreign country, would govern. But there's no stipulations in this bill that would say, if there is a conflict between this international law, foreign tribunal law, and the law of the state of Idaho, which one trumps? Which one
prevails?
Would prevail.
Yeah.
There's no, and that was one of the concerns we raised, and specifically because this bill ties the state of Idaho, and again, remember, they're trying to do this in all 50 states this year. The congressional bill that was passed in Congress says this has to be passed in all 50 states this year so that Obama can sign it so that they can ratify the treaty, which is unconstitutional. But beyond that, in Idaho specifically, we were concerned that it's tying Idaho to the United Nations because this Hague Convention has international language, has stipulations of the United Nations, which would open the door for United Nations laws, rulings to potentially be to come into the state of Idaho, and this is what was, you know, sort of summarily dismissed. Yet, if you look at, and I had somebody that I know very closely to me who does incredible research, looked into the congressional bill, House Resolution 4980. This bill ties in the aspect of data tracking of children. This bill would tie into actually having children the age of developing an adult plan go from 16 to 14. This was one of the issues that was raised in the committee about sharing privacy, because the kids are going to be put on a registry, and this registry then would be theoretically open to international governments or oversight of the United Nations. But here's the main thing that I pointed out specifically from my background, John Jacob, and that is that when you open yourself up to any kind of foreign law, foreign government, and it's vague or it's not clear, the United Nations, people do not understand that the largest voting bloc in the United Nations is the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. This is 56 Muslim countries, and they throw in Palestine as a state,
right,
57, who vote uniformly together. They vote as a bloc.
Yes.
And their agendas in the UN are to blast anybody that they deem as an Islamophobe, who is, you know, warning about Islam. They want to pass hate speech legislation. They want to pass the agendas of Islam.
Protection
and
of religion.
The voting block. So
protection of religion, as long as it's Islam.
Yes, exactly. And so here's one of the interesting things that happened when this bill was going through committee. If you remember, the governor had demanded the bill be heard, even though he has no jurisdiction to demand
right.
the bill be heard, but he had demanded the bill be heard. They wanted it to go to the floor vote. We were monitoring the website and the Facebook page of CARE, who is the Council on American Islamic Relations. They're a front group for the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
I have gone head-to-head with CARE. I can't remember how many times.
It's a Muslim Brotherhood.
Radar. These guys are unindicted co-conspirators.
It is. It's a Muslim Brotherhood.
It's
a Muslim Brotherhood. Fronted and funded organization. It's to
absolutely
to bring in
and there's
the Islamic
no
agenda.
Question that their goal is to eventually implement Sharia in the United States, mostly through our legal system. Their goal
yes.
is to incrementally, as they've done in Europe, bring Sharia in, open the door for lower case tribunals, like in Texas right now, in Irving, Texas, where we have the first Sharia tribunal in the United States.
Yeah.
And so. We were following, my wife was following their website and their Facebook, and the day before this bill was, or the day of the bill being in committee, and they were debating it, CARE posted three times about this bill, Senate Bill 1067.
Yep.
The next day, once it was defeated in committee 9-8, they posted two or three times, we actually did the screen grabs of their posting on their Facebook page. So it would lead one to believe, why is CARE following this bill? What possible reason do they have to
why.
Follow a bill that has to do with custody orders, support orders, unless they know that there is some language in this bill that would open the door for them
Absolutely.
To be able to get their agenda across?
Let me interject something here.
Go ahead.
And when I was talking to this judge... that was talking to me about this family law situation. I asked her about the choice of law. I said, this new bill has this wording called choice of law. She said, this, she says, this is not new. We've always had choice of law since, what, 90 or 82 or I can't remember when. She said this has been in there for years and years. And this is when you have multiple jurisdictions. Like you got a guy living in Tennessee. You got the mom living in Washington State. And they're battling over child support and custody. And you have two different sets of laws. They said that this choice of law is there for the magistrate to make the choice of which law to apply in the best interest of the child. And she said what concerns her about this is that now with our decaying culture, we have judges that are not adhering to the Constitution. They're making horrible decisions. We're losing the morally righteous and upright people in the magistrates. And here's the next strategy that I believe of the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE and the rest of these is to begin infiltrating our judicial system with judges that can make rulings in favor of accepting Sharia law. And what do you say to that?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, again, if the listeners want to go to the Center for Security Policy, it's Frank Gaffney's organization. They have done extensive study on the implementation of Sharia orders in United States courts. These are where American judges have implicated or have accepted the an argument of Sharia. The most famous case we had was a woman who was being assaulted and raped by her husband. They were Muslim. She went to an American judge for redress, and the husband said, "Listen, under Islamic law, you know, you're my wife, and I can basically, you know, sleep with you whenever I want, even if I, you know, force myself upon you." The American judge initially accepted the Sharia ruling based on an Islamic fatwa, an Islamic ruling. Now, fortunately, in that case, a lot of these cases, you have appellate courts that ultimately overthrow them, which is at least good.
For now.
The fact that you have them being put in there, that's case law. And, John Jacob, can I point this out, too? In this bill, going back to the bill again, Senate Bill 1067, you're right. The choice of law language has been in law for a long time. However, in this bill, it specifically adds the wording foreign country. So now you're saying to these judges, oh, you have discretion, if there's a discrepancy between the law in Tennessee and the law in Idaho. Now you're saying to these judges, you have discretion if you have a law out of Great Britain or out of Albania or out of, Germany, if that law contradicts American law, well, it's up to you, judge, to figure out which one is in the best interest of the child. That is dangerous. We cannot give them that discretion because either we have a constitution and we have a set of principles or we don't. And if you do, John Jacob, I believe that this bill in all 50 states would dismantle the sovereignty of the states, number one, because you're giving the feds this power over you by blackmail, and number two, it would dismantle the sovereignty of the United States and give it over to the United Nations and to foreign courts,
and
foreign tribunals. I mean,
not just foreign governments either. Not just foreign governments.
Why hasn't it been exposed before? I don't know, but thank God it is now.
Not just foreign governments either, but the wording quasi-judicial entities. That right there is what they are fixated on, and that's what's going to be able to. Now, the argument to that, though, is, well, a judge doesn't have to follow that law. It's just up to their discretion. But the problem is we've got an increasingly immoral judicial system and magistrates, and we've got the coming infiltration of Islam into our judicial system. It's going to change everything, and they're paving the way for it.
They're paving the way for this. They're paving the way. And remember, there are conditions of this bill that ties it to the United Nations, to the Hague Convention. And under the United Nations laws, if you look at how negative the United Nations is against homeschooling, against the rights of parents, there's other elements here, too. But bottom line is the nine legislators in the committee decided that there are too many questions about this bill once they were raised, to shove it down our throats and force us to pass it verbatim. And so they decided to table it. I believe that's the best thing. Now your governor is threatening to call a special session.
Yeah.
Not once since 2006. And I think the listeners need to get on the phone and put pressure. Governor, do not overstep your boundary as governor. The legislature is a separate branch of government. You do not have the authority to bully them, to force them to pass this law. Let the legislative process work. And if you don't like it, then, you know, deal with it in the next election cycle. But this is why we have a legislature and a governor that's supposed to be a separation of powers.
Yes.
And I believe the governor of the state of Idaho has overstepped his boundary in doing that. And this bill needs to be shared. I've already shared it with others, some others in other states. And when we're trying to share it, to say, listen, wake up. This is a Trojan horse, in my opinion. And the media can bring all the cases of, you know, you hate children and all this stuff. But as you said again, there's already existing law that would have given reciprocity. The state of Idaho already has reciprocity in other states to collect child support. They already have the ability to do it internationally. The fact that the feds are threatening, are blackmailing,
coercing. Yep.
Yeah.
It should
be a red flag that this is about something way bigger than child support payments.
It is. It's coercion, and it's brought down by the Obama administration at the highest levels. Everything about this, red flags are going up all over this whole thing. Now, we're told that they cannot change the language of the bill. It must be passed as is. But a few weeks ago when I interviewed Representative Matt Shea from Washington, he was saying that they killed it, but they actually passed the bill. But what they were able to do is change the language to make sure that the rule of law was still upheld according to American law. Have you looked into that any further to find out how to, I don't know, kind of
right,
bring these two together?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Absolutely. Because in the state of Washington, this was Senate Bill 5498. And we are looking into, because Representative Shea told me that they were able to get an amendment put on this bill, I believe in the House. I believe once it came into the House from the Senate, they were able to get an amendment put on the bill that specifically said if there's any contradiction of foreign law or foreign court or whatever that would violate our constitutional protected rights here in the United States, you know, our laws would trump that and something to that language. And so I'm trying to still verify.
Okay. Well,
Idaho is being told by the Health and Human Services.
We're at the end of our time there, Pastor. I'm so sorry, but we are out of time. We were right up against it, and it's going to cut us off. And so I just want to thank you so much for coming on board. God bless you. This is the Voice of the American Readout. Join us tomorrow night at the podcast, radiofreereadout.com. Have a blessed weekend.